So, welcome back to part two. Tonight we're going to be talking about rejection. And I've entitled it, A Case of Mistaken Identity. You know, rejection is something that is common to man. There is not a single person alive on the planet that has ever lived that has not faced rejection. And how we handle it, what we do with it, what it does to us, it makes all the difference in the world in our lives and in our health. So most of what I'll be sharing tonight, it comes from this book here called Excuse Me, Your Rejection is Showing. And it shows. It shows. People who have it, you'll be able to spot it after tonight's class. These people, Noel and Phil Gibson, they are pioneers in the deliverance ministry. They've been doing this for back in the day when no one was doing it. And they have ministered deliverance to literally thousands and thousands of people all over the world. And they have come to the conclusion, and so has literally every other deliverance minister and every other counselor, that rejection is the greatest undiagnosed and therefore untreated malady that we face today, both in the body of Christ, but people outside the body of Christ too. So, you know, there's two things everyone needs, and that's to be loved and to be needed, to feel like your life has matters, that your life has significance, it has purpose, that you're important, you know, that you're needed. And rejection steals both of these things away from a person. The dictionary defines rejection as the act of throwing away or discarding something. And certainly that implies a lack of value, because you don't throw away things that are important. You only throw trash away. So, you know, that's how people who are rejected feel. They feel unwanted, unneeded, unworthy, worthless, like they're trash. And rejection is also defined as the act of being denied love. And again, that's one of the most important things we need. Consequently, to the degree that you feel rejected, to that same degree, there is a corresponding inability to give or receive love. So when you see people who can't give love or receive it, then you know probably there's a problem there. And chances are they weren't given it either, because they had parents who were rejected. We'll get into that in a minute. Rejection, it works subtly to destroy your self-esteem and your purpose, because it's basically, it destroys who you are. So rejection causes you oftentimes to feel sorry for yourself. Rejection wants you to base your worth on what you do instead of who you are. When we embrace rejection, we have difficulty being able to fully receive the love of God. You know, we might intellectually say, yes, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, but yet we don't really experience it or feel it or believe it. And, you know, any feeling of worthlessness makes, feeling worthless makes any attempt at giving or receiving affection seem unreal, whether it's to God or to others. So consequently, we find it hard to express love to God. A lot of times when you find people who can't openly express love to God, it's because they probably haven't received it themselves and they don't feel they have any value. They don't feel they've been rejected. It isn't hard to see that rejection is a major tool of the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy us. And it's so easy to see why, when you think about, you know, a church filled with people who suffer from rejection, how you would have fighting in the church or church splits. Same thing with families, you know, division, splits, fighting among family members. Rejected, people who are rejected reject others because they want to reject you before you have the chance to reject them. So you find a lot of this going on. And this can affect our health as well, because, you know, Henry Wright, the guy who's done the teaching on spiritual roots to disease, says that about 70 to 80% of health issues have a spiritual root to them. And this spiritual root is a breakdown between yourself and God, between yourself and others, or between yourself and yourself. So the scripture says, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So that's everybody, right? So if you don't love yourself because you've been rejected, this is going to affect your physical body. What's your body going to do? It's going to hear you rejecting yourself, and it's going to follow along with that. It's going to obey its orders to reject yourself. A lot of times, autoimmune disorders are a result of self-rejection, which rejection and self-rejection and fear of rejection are three branches on the same tree. They go together. You just find them always together. So people who have been rejected tend to reject themselves too. So rejection can happen at any time from the very moment of conception all the way till death. So in this tree here, this chart that you've been given, this tree, down in the root causes of rejection, we're going to go through each of these. And for those of you watching online, he's going to put this tree up so you can see it. The first one is the manner or timing of conception. So children who are born out of wedlock, you know, oftentimes they're not wanted, it's not expected, not planned, you know, what are we going to do? Children who are a result of rape or incest or adultery, or, you know, if you're born to parents who don't want you, maybe they don't, you know, just the timing of this pregnancy is bad, we don't have room for another mouth to feed. All of these things will impart rejection to that baby. And of course, you know, if the baby's not wanted and given up for adoption, you know, which is like here in a minute, we'll talk about adoption. But, you know, one thing babies long for, even before they're born, is to be loved and to be wanted. And to, you know, if even in the womb, they can pick up on rejection, a spirit of rejection can come in. So number two, in the mother's womb, in utero, the circumstances surrounding a pregnant woman and her attitude toward her unborn child will influence the baby. So will the father's pleasure or displeasure on hearing about the pregnancy influence the baby. And especially if they, you know, wanted a girl and got a boy, or vice versa, this will affect. If the husband is abusive to the mother while she's pregnant, this will affect the child, which is one of the reasons why I developed this CD called Prayers and Blessings for the Unborn Child, because I knew that even from the womb, a baby knows if they're wanted or not and if they're loved and loved. And I wanted to tell them, even in the womb, you're loved, you're wanted, you're welcome, you're important, you have value. I wanted to tell them who they were before they ever started hearing the lies of the devil through rejection, tell them things that weren't true. And I thought, man, if we can, because we know, science has proven, an unborn child can hear and feel and sense and learn and know things even in the womb. And so I thought, why not start there? You know, let's just get them before they're ever born, before they're ever hurt or wounded, and get the truth of who God says they are. Again, it's their identity. Track four is all about their identity and their destiny. They have a purpose. Their life has significance. These are the things that are so important to us, but even in the womb, they're important. So the manner of birth. Rejection symptoms can sometimes be traced to the birth of a baby after a long and difficult labor, or with the use of instruments causing head distortion or physical injury. There are a lot of things that can go wrong at the time of birth. And then the number four, lack of physical bonding with the mother. Babies need to be held, cuddled, stroked, and generally made to feel loved and wanted. But oftentimes if they're born and there's a medical emergency and the baby's whisked away and put in an ICU unit and they're not able to be cuddled and loved and held and made to feel loved, then this can cause feelings of rejection. It's nobody's fault. Nobody, you know, is at fault about this. It's just how it is. Again, number five, being an adopted child. It goes without saying that a child given up for adoption is going to feel rejection and abandonment because what happened? They were given away. They were they will always feel like they were thrown away. And it doesn't matter if the parent, the mother, had a really good reason. You know, she, because of her love for the child, she wanted that child to have a Christian home with two parents who could raise her because they couldn't. You know, even though their intentions are good, that child will always want to know, why did my parents not want me? It's just how it is. Some of you probably know adopted children who they've had wonderful Christian parents raise them. And yet, as soon as they can, they're out to find their birth parents because there's this need to know, why did you give me away? Because it's rejection at its deepest level. The people who are supposed to love you and want you and protect you, when they're the ones who are rejecting you, that is a primal wound. And they need closure on this. They need answers to it. It's just how it is. Hereditary rejection, number 6. Rejected parents produce rejected children because they cannot give away what they never received. You know, without doubt, they love their children, but because they had no example of family love, they don't know how to express it. So then they'll say, well, we're just not a family that, you know, kisses and hugs. We're just not a demonstrative family. Well, a child doesn't really understand that, you know. Or if they think, you know, boys, you know, we need to be men. And so, you know, we don't do any of this hugging, kissing stuff, you know. Well, a child doesn't understand that. I'm sorry, that's... they're just a child. They're not a man. Let them be boys. Kiss them, love them, hug them. 7, factors in the family home. So here, you know, here is an unlimited list of places where rejection can come in. If you have an absentee father or mother who's not there most of the time, they'll feel unwanted and unloved. Competition with siblings, if they've been verbally, sexually, or emotionally abused. Constant criticism from siblings or authority figures such as parents, teachers, coaches. Being born at the wrong time, being the wrong sex, having a birth deformity or a handicap. Unjust discipline, you know, like maybe, you know, your sibling got away with murder, but you didn't get away with anything, and you were always punished, but they got away with things. That will cause a feeling of rejection. Parents not showing interest in their children's hobbies or sports. You know, like, why hasn't dad ever come to any of my games? The list could go on of places and times that rejection can come in. We always want to ask the question, where does it hurt? And that usually helps us figure out where it got in. 8, problems caused by teachers or schoolmates. You know, kids can be so cruel that they will find one little thing different about you. You know, if you wear glasses, they'll call you four eyes, or if you've got a big nose, or if you've got big ears, or, you know, if you're a little overweight. I mean, it's just, there's no end to the things that children can do to other children. But, and these are devastating to a child. Being called names, you know, if they have a physical defect. And humiliation in front of peers, or being picked on by a teacher, or made the object of sarcasm, or the butt of a joke, you know, these are just really major sources of rejection. You know, it's a wonder any of us survived childhood. And it really is it kind of explains why so many people are messed up. 9, rejection by one's own attitude. Guilt and shame can cause self-rejection. This is a common scar caused by doing things that we may feel like we can't be forgiven for. Sometimes if women have had an abortion, they feel such guilt and shame, and they feel like they can't forgive themselves, so they reject themselves. Being unhappy with how you look, you know, who doesn't have, we pick ourselves apart, we're our worst enemy as far as, oh, my nose is too big, or, oh, my, you know, I've got curly hair and I wish I had straight hair. You know, just if we don't like how we look, we will reject ourselves. 10, other causes of rejection in later life, such as some of the most devastating sources of rejection would be a divorce, especially if the other person is who's leaving you, and especially if they're leaving you for someone else. Sometimes the death of a spouse, you'll feel rejection. A broken engagement, betrayal by a friend, mental or physical cruelty by a spouse, losing a job, you know, sometimes you get fired and your self-esteem is built up in that job. You feel rejected if they have to fire you. The list goes on. So can you imagine if you have sources of rejection from any number of or all of these places, you know, there can be layers and layers and layers of rejection in all these from all these sources. And just as the causes of rejection are varied, so are the effects or the fruit it produces, which is up here in the top part. We're going to cover these. So, you know, there's three special groupings or branches that are clearly discernible. This first branch on the left is shows how the sufferer outwardly responds to the impact of being rejected. Then the second branch shows emotional shockwaves on the inner personality. And the third branch shows the self-defensive measures we might take to offset or prevent further rejection. So first, let's look at this first column, the under aggressive reactions, the outward responses. Rejected people show a variety of aggressive attitudes, such as rebellion. You almost always find rebellion with rejection. It seems the two go together. Again, rejected people will reject others before they have a chance to reject them. Sick people infect other sick people. So, you know, really oftentimes doesn't have anything to do with you. It's their issues. They're rejected, so they're just taking it out on you. So some of the signs here are refusal to be comforted, signs of emotional hardness or harshness. We become verbally abusive to others. We lose trust in people and become suspicious of everyone. We want to take revenge or punish the person who rejected us. You know, oftentimes you have a lot of inner pressures, and so swearing and foul language will just be, you know, the result. A lot of times rejected people they're argumentative and they can't even debate in a healthy fashion. They just get mad and volatile and erupt. They can't be corrected or receive constructive criticism. They have to be right or else they feel worthless. And that's because who they are, their identity is based on them being right. And this also ties in with people with opinionated personalities who are always there to tell you everything about it, even though they really don't know what they're talking about, but boy, they're going to tell you. We can become stubborn, defiant, rebellious. A sentence that would describe the behavior of this person would sound something like this. If somebody didn't want me, I'll show them. So the second column, self-rejection symptoms, which shows how rejection affects our emotions. Just like if you bruise fruit, so do behavioral problems reveal the presence of rejection. So low self-image, feelings of inadequacy or inferiorities naturally flow from a crushed ego. Of course, why wouldn't it? You feel worthless and unnecessary. If so-and-so, the reasoning goes something like this. If so-and-so, whom I thought loved me, did or said that to me, then obviously they don't think much of me. Therefore, I must be of no value. So other symptoms in this category include sadness, grief, and sorrow. The degree to which is determined first by the amount of hurt received, and secondly by the amount of self-pity that they indulge in. Also, they're very self-condemning. They constantly put themselves down. Even if someone gave them a true compliment, they wouldn't be able to receive it because they just can't. And then all kinds of fears come into play. Fear of what other people think about them. Fear of their opinions. Fear of rejection. Fear of inability to cope. Fear of inadequacy. Anxiety, worry, and depression can result. Again, health issues related to rejection, such as autoimmune disorders. Self-rejection says, they said they didn't want me and they were right. I'm not worth anything at all. And then third, in this third column, we have measures to counter self-rejection. Somebody didn't want me, I'll prove that I am somebody. So they tend to become overachievers, highly competitive, showing off, being a perfectionist. We can become independent and isolationist, be like a hermit, just never get out. Which, you know, in a marriage, that's not a good situation. You can't be that way. Self-centeredness is also common in here. It's a fruit that says, I have to look after me and my rights. So they become self-indulgent, self, you know, pity, self-righteous, self-protective. They can become critical, judgmental, jealous, full of pride, egotism, and arrogance. Because, again, they tend to lift themselves up and put other people down. Emotional immaturity is common because at the time, whatever age you are, when you first get emotionally wounded by rejection, you tend to be emotionally stunted at that age. So emotional immaturity is another sign. And then disturbed sleep patterns. You know, your mind and emotions won't switch off and on like normal. They come on in the middle of the night or what have you. And then there's another component of rejection, and that's perceived or imagined rejection. You know, we all kind of do this sometimes. Like, why didn't that person come and say hi to me? You know, we feel rejected because somebody didn't speak to us. When maybe, you know, they were just scared to come and talk to you themselves. Maybe they were feeling rejected and inferior. But yet, you know, here we think they're rejecting us. And it's perceived, it's imagined, it's just, oftentimes it's a misunderstanding. But when you have rejection, it's like you have these lenses on now that everything that someone says or does, you take it as rejection, even though there was no intention for that at all. This is why it's so important not to judge things, because you don't know the whole story. Let's see, what else is on here? Oh, yeah, possessiveness. You know, this is mine, don't touch it. So, and then people with rejection, they turn to things for comfort, right? Who wouldn't do that? And that's natural to do. So drowning your sorrows in alcohol is one way people deal with rejection. You know, they don't call it Southern comfort for nothing. And comfort food, you know, some people turn to food to drown their sorrows. Sex is a common one because that, you know, then we feel like we're loved and we're needed and we're important, and so we turn to sexual gratification. Drugs, prescription, antidepressants, you know, anti-anxieties, sleeping pills, but of course illegal drugs the same way. And then we try to fit in. You know, peer pressure really comes in big here because we want to be accepted. We will do things to fit in that maybe we wouldn't do, don't want to do, but we want to fit in. And, you know, if your parents are some of the ones who rejected you, then it's like you're always trying to gain your parents' approval, just always doing things to see if you can get I'm proud of you out of them, you know, which may never come because they are maybe unable to give it because they've been rejected as well. You know, so we do all kinds of things to protect ourselves from further rejection and from the pain of rejection. But there's really only one way to be free from the pain of rejection, and that is through Jesus, through his sacrificial death on the cross, for his blood that was shed, paying the penalty of our sins so that we can be children of God. And when we're children of God, that changes who we are. You know, it changes that we are now the righteousness of God in Christ. We are accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians 1:6 says you've been made accepted in the Beloved. This is a major scripture for people who suffer rejection. You know, the Bible is filled with people who were rejected. I mean, just start in the beginning. Cain, you know, Abel was rejected by Cain. Cain was rejected by God. And I think of David, you know, his dad didn't even call him in as one of his sons to show Samuel the prophet. I mean, that's pretty bad rejection. I think of Joseph. His brother sold him into slavery. I mean, gosh, rejection is all throughout the Bible. The list is endless of people, you know, and how they handled it made a difference. But who was the most rejected person of all? Jesus. That's right. He was rejected for who he was, what he said, what he did, how he lived, how he died. His own brothers didn't believe who he was. The religious people were envious and tried to kill him. The Jewish people would try to kill him whenever he would say things that they didn't like. His own disciples deserted him. You know, Peter denied him. And when he was in this mock trial, not one person defended him. Not one person that he had healed, that he had delivered from a demon, you know, was there to defend him. He was abandoned by everyone, basically. I mean, John and Mary, his mother, was there, of course, but, you know, that's the ultimate rejection. And so he knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows the pain, and he knows how to set you free from it, because, and that's what he wants to do. The root of rejection is actually incredibly simple. Damage from rejection is the result of a misplaced identity. Whenever we base our identity on somebody or something other than what God's word has to say about us, we make ourselves vulnerable to the damage of rejection. So the key to overcoming rejection is to solve the identity problem. And the only way to do that is through what God says, either in his word or what he speaks to you personally. So let's just say you're basing your identity on what your mother and father think of you. So the moment that any hint of disapproval comes from them concerning you, that is going to hurt you because they're your source of identity. Anytime we base our identity on what we think of ourselves or what others think of us, we are virtually trusting that person with our identity. And not even ourselves are capable of truly determining who we are. Only God is qualified for that job. And that's why it's so important for us to understand that God, what he's done for us as new creations in Christ. When we base our identity on the word of God and what he has to say about us, we will become virtually rejection-proof. We can become immune to the wounds of rejection as long as we are not basing our identity on what people think. So let's just say, for example, let's just suppose you were rejected in the womb. Perhaps you, your parents weren't married, or they wanted a different sex, or you were given up for adoption. Then you need to know what God's word says about that. Like in Jeremiah 1:5, it says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." And in Psalm 139, it says, "You created every part of me. You put me together in my mother's womb. When my bones were being formed, carefully put together in my mother's womb, when I was growing there in secret, you knew that I was there. You saw me before I was born." You know, whether we were planned by our parents or not, God planned for us to be here. And nothing about us is a mistake, not the timing of our birth, not the color of our skin, not our sex, not even who our parents are. Nothing was, from his point of view, we're perfect. And he's glad we were born, you know. So, when we're wounded and hurt, I've said this before, Satan is always right there to tell us a lie. You're worthless. There's something wrong with you. You shouldn't even be here. You're a mistake. You're defective. The list goes on. And again, so when we pick up and embrace that lie, we get in agreement with that lie, then we become that. That's our identity now, is based on that instead of what God's word says. Only God can really tell you who you are. You know, I can tell you all day long, "I'm so glad you were born. I'm so glad, you know, you're wonderful." But if you really suffer from rejection, you're not going to believe a word I say. It's going to have to come from God. So what I like to do is let's just take some time right now for the sake of the people watching and who might watch in the future. We'll just go through this. So, as I've been talking, perhaps you've thought about times when you were rejected. And so I want you to think about any of those times. So I'll just give you a minute to think about times you've been rejected. You know, ask the Holy Spirit to show you where you were rejected and what lie did you believe. Now ask the Holy Spirit, what is your truth? What do you say about this belief that I have about what happened to me? So now we want to repent for embracing and believing that lie. Forgive the people who hurt us, who rejected us. Release them from our judgments. Forgive them. Remember, they were probably rejected too. Renounce that lie by falling out of agreement with it and replace it with truth such as, "He made me accepted in the Beloved," or whatever truth it is that God is speaking to you right now. You know, chances are you'll have to reject rejection several times a day. You know, this is ongoing. For as long as we live, the devil's going to be there to try to cause rejection in us. And so you've got to decide now how to handle that and how to reject it. You know, just don't let it Don't let it have victory over you. Because the truth is, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So reject rejection and accept your God-given identity. So now I'll just say a prayer. And if you feel like you've got, you know, that you want more in-depth prayer about this, then our prayer team will be up here to pray for anybody. But so we'll just pray. In the name of Jesus, we renounce a spirit of rejection and command it to go from us. We command rejection to loose these people and leave them. You will not lie to them anymore. And if you would, just tell rejection to go. If you've suffered from it, just tell rejection to go. Say, leave me, loose me. I command you to go. I renounce the lies you've told me. I forgive the people you used to hurt me. And we command self-rejection and fear of rejection to go too. We command all the fruits of rejection to go in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you would just fill them with your love and acceptance right now, that you would let them know how much you love them, how important they are to you. Okay, I'm done. Does anybody have anything they want to say? Okay.
People may leave you and reject you, but God said, I will never leave you.
Yes.
And I will never forsake you.
Yes. Amen. God, that's, yes. Yes. God said, I will never, people may reject you and leave you, but God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's good. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You have been amazing. You have studied.
Oh, thank you.
Just really worked hard and borne the expense. And you could have made this a big Sarah's promotional, and you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You're well respected. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank y'all. And thank y'all for coming every week. Thank you. Thank you. And this is, for those who are watching, this is our last class for the semester. Lord willing, we're going to pick it back up in the fall. And I'm going to spend all summer working on more lessons. Going to be good. There's so much more to cover. I mean, gosh, we've only scratched the tip of the surface. There's so much more that we could have talked about, that we need a break for the summer, and we'll come back in the fall. And I appreciate and love every one of y'all, and thank you for coming. Thank you for watching. Thank you for your support. Love you guys.